blessing people. This week I sent a care package to Mongolia for our good friends Soto and Gloria. They had their baby, and this is such a beautiful, miraculous story if you don't know it. She's almost died multiple times, and she had a couple stillborns, multiple miscarriages. They had to abort the baby one time at 8 months because her body was dying. Her body was going into like sepsis and just really bad. And so they've had a very bad experience, but they've had a word that they would have a son for 15 years. That's how long they've been married. And they've had a word that they would have a son, bear a son for 15 years. And they've been holding on to this. They've come to us. We sat them up here. We prayed over them. We prophesied over them. We spoke healing over them. And they had their baby boy a week and a half ago. So 2 weeks ago now. So he's an amazing, beautiful little boy. And we're just so excited, so happy for them. And as soon as the borders open up, they want to come and just show off their promise, their little Isaac. So, but we did send a big care package, and we are wanting to send them, because they, again, over there, everything's locked down, so you can't really do a whole lot for work and to make money. So we want to send them some money through Western Union. So if you want to contribute to that, you could just throw something in the tithe and offering box this week, this week or, in the next week or two. So would like to get it to him fairly soon. But the package is going, and it will arrive October 7th. So it takes a little bit to get overseas. Awesome. And then the last thing was yesterday was a pretty significant, powerful day in our nation. And there was about 100,000 people, roughly, give or take a few, that gathered in Washington, D.C. to pray. And I tuned in. Actually, Jack and Morgan went there. They were praying. So awesome with their little guys. But there was two events going on. There was Franklin Graham gathered. He just said, let's pray. And let's march. Let's do a prayer march. And it was so powerful and just anointed. And then there was another simultaneously, and they were working together, but there was another meeting going on called The Return, and there was all these amazing messages, prophetic prayers, and it was just really significant, I believe, and it was a turning point for our nation.
Amen.
Amen. When people gather and pray, stuff always happens, and so I believe we are entering into a good season, a new season, and it was really cool. Just, hours after that, the president appointed a new Supreme Court justice, which there's going to, you could pray over that poor woman. I know there's going to be all kinds of hell that's going to break loose over her life. But that is, it's pretty powerful. She is a mother of seven, adopted two children from Haiti, pro-life, loves God, loves the Bible, and it was prophesied that she would actually be a Supreme Court justice several years ago. And not to her, but just at a church service, actually. And I believe it is the mercy of God for our nation. And so it's just a beautiful thing when you get just people that are full of love, full of true justice, and full of the goodness of God, that are coming into high places in our nation. And so it is just such a joy. I was so overwhelmed with God's goodness yesterday. And, just knowing that, in 30 years, in 40 years, there's going to be a good, I believe it'll still be a good land, the land of the free. Amen? Did you have a quick something? Okay.
This may not resonate with anybody, but this has been resonating with me since President Trump announced Judge Amy Coney Barrett, and it's Revelation 11, and it's the two witnesses. As I was watching it and the news, and this is going to be a real fight against her, and I submit that those that come and look, part of the judicial 4-day debate and inquiry. That's part of it. She's to be challenged, and she's to share what, you know, with the challenges. And so this is all part of the protocol. But the evil agenda behind the ungodly challenges, I almost have a sense that the fire of God will breathe on them as the two witnesses in Revelation stand. And those that are enemies that come against them, they breathe fire out on them. She won't be breathing fire. She'll be breathing the Constitution. Amen. And she is grounded. But I just can't get that out of me. So I submit that to you.
Amen. So I'd encourage you, that I think it's going to be taking place in mid-October. Just be praying for her and her family. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, they really put Judge Kavanaugh through it. And so we just need to be praying. We need to pray. The Bible says pray for leaders and pray for all in authority, not just the ones we agree with, but pray for all those that are placed in authority, that they would have an encounter with God, that they would have the mercy of God overtake their life, and so, and the protection of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Good stuff. But I was super encouraged yesterday. I just felt like it was a real pivotal time in our nation's history, especially with everybody being hiding out and you know, behind closed doors and not being able to meet, and you know, to see about 100,000 people gather and just lift up the name of Jesus and worship and pray and unite. It was just a beautiful thing. And it's just the beginning of a new season. Amen.
It is.
And okay, if you could turn your Bible, if you got a Bible, turn it to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Back to Proverbs. I can't get out of Proverbs. As you're turning there, or going on your iPhone or your iPad, whatever you got, as you're going there, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for mercy over America. Mercy over California. Mercy upon your church, Lord Jesus. Mercy upon families, God. Mercy upon children. Mercy upon the unborn. Lord, mercy in our land. I thank you for mercy. And Holy Spirit, we ask you just to touch California in a fresh way. Lord, you're not done with this great state. You love California. And we pray for your mercy and your grace and your protection to be upon this state. Holy Spirit, we love you. We lean into you today. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your strength. I ask that you would anoint my words, God, and help them to make sense. Seal it on every person's heart. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We honor you. We just give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In the wonderful and powerful and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Proverbs chapter 3. We started something last week, and I've just been meditating on Proverbs chapter 3 for, I guess, well over a month now, and just in my own personal time. And so every time I am reading, I just can't seem to get out of this, and it's just really been feeding my spirit. And so we jumped into this last week, and we read verses 1 through 10. And if you didn't hear that, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. We have it on our YouTube channel. You can check it out. But I felt like there was some really important revelation and nuggets in there for us as we begin to move forward in our life, as a church, as a country, as individuals. And so what I'm titling this last week and this week is Wisdom for the Journey. Say, Wisdom for the Journey. Amen. I'll just quickly read last week's verses just because they're so good, and maybe it'll speak to your heart again if you weren't here or if you were here, and then we'll jump into the new text. Last week it was, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart and find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I like that. That we want favor with God, but when we are doing it God's way, there's actually favor with man in our life as well. We want God's favor. We want Him first, but it's just a natural byproduct. There's going to be favor with man as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. Honor the Lord with all of your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Amen. I love those first 10 verses. And we're going to jump into another set of verses here. I don't know how far we'll get. We'll just roll with it. But I want to start where we left off last week in verse 11. And it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction." And so we start a whole nother set of verses or a whole nother dialogue here. And just listen to the Father. Listen to how God speaks to us. Listen to how Solomon is speaking to his child. But really, don't picture it as just Solomon speaking to somebody. It's really Father God speaking to you and speaking to me. This is the instruction of a heavenly Father for you and for me to have a great life and successful life. And so he starts chapter 3, verse 1. He starts with, "My son." Remember? "My son." And it's this place of relationship. And so he shares 10 verses that are intense. They have some real, just a lot of depth to them. But he starts it from this place of, "You're my son. We're in relationship, identity." And so now he begins another little talk with him, and he starts once again with, "My son." So he gave him a lot to digest. He gives us a lot to digest. And then he wants to once again remind us of our identity. He wants to remind us of our position in the kingdom and remind us of our position in God's eyes, that we are children of God, that we're sons and daughters. Amen. And why would he say that? Because he's about to say something that might sting a little bit. He's about to say something that we're like, why is he saying that? I don't like when people say that. I don't like when people tell me this. I don't like when God says this in the Bible. But he's saying, "You're my child. You're my son. And son, we are in relationship. And because we're in relationship, I might have to tell you a few things that you're not going to like." And so he says, "My son, my child, my daughter, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." Somebody say hallelujah. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Somebody out there is like, "What is chastening?" Thank you for asking. Chastening. It can mean a rebuke for making a mistake. It can mean correction, obviously. But here's two definitions that I really thought were pretty powerful. It can mean to prune and to refine. To prune and to refine. And so, you know, there are times I think in my life where I've been crying out for God's favor and blessing. "God, bless me. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me." You know, we all do this as God's kids, but sometimes He says this, "I can't bless you until I prune you. I can't bless you. I can't, you, because you don't have the heart, the character to contain what I want to give you until I refine you a little bit. Until I work on that heart a little bit." Amen. And so it's not out of a place of shame. It's not out of a place of judgment. It's not out of a place of He doesn't like us. It's because He likes us. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. Amen. Isn't that cool? And He doesn't just like you. He loves you. It's just this beautiful relationship that he has with us. It reminds me of our relationship with our children. It's, you know, sometimes we have to correct our kids, right? And, you know, like think of it if your child, if you had a little child, and I've actually experienced something similar to this, but you have a little child and the child is riding their bike and they're going out into the middle of the street and there's cars going like 60 miles an hour. What are you going to do as a parent? Are you going to say, dear, honey, can you please come over here if you want? Please. If you want, just come over here. And if you feel like it, only do what you feel, you know. No, like that would not be love. You know, we might raise our voice a little bit in the moment because we love them. And to get their attention, we say, son, daughter, get out of the road, you know. And we might lift our voice a little bit, not because we're angry with them, but because we love them and we're trying to save their life. They don't see that there's a car rolling 60 miles an hour that's about to make them into a pancake, and so we have to help them. And there's consequences, and there is correction, and there is pruning, and sometimes when, you know, our kids make bad decisions, we as parents in love, you have to bring a little pruning to some things in their life, and we have to bring some correction and some consequences, and they don't really like it, and they get mad at the consequences, get mad at the discipline, but it's not, we don't do it because we hate them. We do it because we're madly in love with them. And we're more concerned about who they are becoming and who they become in their future than the discomfort that they might be feeling in the moment. Amen? So we correct our children because we love our children. If I didn't love my kids, I'd say, just go do whatever you want. I really don't care. I don't care. I'm not watching you. I don't care. It's your life. Go do what you want. That would not be love. And that would not be concern. That would not be care. And this is the same. Like if an earthly father and mother can have this kind of care and concern for their child, how much more our Heavenly Father, who made us in His image. And so He comes back and He says, it is not because I'm mad at you. It is because I actually have concern for you. I have concern. I have so much love in my heart for you. I see where you're going. I see a great destiny unfolding. And so there's a few things I just need to prune. There's a few things I just need to refine in this season of your life. And it's not a bad thing. Amen. Remember, he said, my son. He doesn't say stranger, enemy, my slave. I don't despise the chastening of the Lord. No, my son. My beloved, the one that I've prayed for. Amen. Come on, that's a good word. I think sometimes in my life and in a lot of our lives as a nation and as a church, we look through the lens of Scripture and we look through the lens of authority and fathers and mothers through an orphan spirit. And so anytime a mother or a father or any type of person in authority brings any kind of correction or any kind of discipline or anything from the Scripture that has any kind of sounds any bit like discipline, we filter it through an orphan spirit and we begin to run away. And we begin to say, oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, that person doesn't like me. This person's mad at me. This person has a grudge against me. But that's so far from the truth. And I mean, sometimes there's people that have their own issues and authority issues and they need healing as well. But God loves us. And this is why He will bring some discipline. Amen. It's His correction shows His love and His correction shows His concern. I love what it says in the book of Hebrews. I have a few places I'll go today. Hebrews. Somebody say Hebrews. If I can get there. There it is. Hebrews chapter 12. It says, my son, this is chapter 12, 5 My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and you are not sons. Just let that simmer for a moment. I know we live in a culture where we hate correction and we don't want God to correct us and we don't want anything like this, but God's saying, no, if to be a son, to be a real son and to be in the family, there's going to be high-flying, powerful, intimate moments, but there will be some times where you're not going to like it. There will be some times where God has to say, I'm going to do the spotlight on your heart, and we're going to work on this stuff. We're going to uproot these issues because I love you. And I'm going to hold you back. I'm going to prune some stuff, some areas of your life, because we're going to work on this together. And he's invested in us. He's invested in his relationship with us. He's invested in who we are as people, as sons and daughters. Amen? Amen. I just love that. That was Hebrews 12, 6 and 8, if you're writing that down. And so he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't shame us. But he actually lifts us. His correction. I've been in settings where correction has cut me at the knees. And I've had abusive leadership that have really hurt me. And I've had leadership, and I've had the scriptures that have actually, the correction, the discipline has actually launched me into a greater season. If I allowed it to do what it was supposed to do, it literally did. It launched me into a new season. This has happened during preaching many times. I could sit there, and when the word of God is preached, it will cut your heart. And it will begin to do this deep surgery on the inside of you. You're like, what is happening? It's uncomfortable. But in your inner man, you know that it's good. And you leave the place better than when you came. But it's not always comfortable. Heart surgery is not always comfortable. I had to have surgery a year ago for a hernia, and that was definitely not comfortable. I did not like it. Did not like being pushed into surgery, looking at this big robot that was going to cut me open. I did not like it, but I liked the result of after. You know, I liked feeling healed and free on the other side of that. Not able to walk before, right? Amen. Hey, hallelujah. So that was verse 12, verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. See, look at your neighbor and say, the father delights in you. That's the truth. And if you're believing anything else, then it's a lie. The father delights in you. Verse 13. Happy. Say happy. I don't know. Sometimes when I'm reading scripture, like just certain words will just kind of pop out to me. And this is what's kind of happening here. That word happy just kind of jumped off the page. Happy is the man. Happy is the man. And I'm like, okay, happy is the man. Joyful, joy-filled is the man. Happy is the man. Fulfilled is the man. And why this jumped out at me, because I think in our lives as Americans, we often chase after so many things trying to find joy. We chase after things that are just momentarily joy-filled, right? It's like, if my team wins, I'm going to be happy. If I get to that tournament, I'm going to be happy. If I get the new iPhone, I'm going to be happy because my phone is miserable and I can't make any calls and this will make my life so much easier. I'll be happy. You know, my life will be better if I get that new car. I've been waiting for this new car. If I get that raise, if I get, you know, all these external things. And this is how the world has actually conditioned us through the commercials, through media, through everything that pops up on Facebook. It's like you on Instagram. It's we have to compete with each other, and you have to get this, or if you don't get this, then you're not happy. If you're not keeping up with so and so, then you can't have true joy. But this is the exact opposite of the kingdom of God. See, the world says strive for things and strive for stuff and try and get this, and all your things have to be right in a row. But God says no. Happiness and joy is an inside job. Amen. And so this is why he's speaking this to his son, and this is why the father is speaking this to us. And you want real joy, you want to be joy-filled in your life, then it is with the man, not who finds stuff, but who finds wisdom. Wisdom. I love that. And you got to find it. And so that means it's not just sitting there. You actually have to find it. What is wisdom? The wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. It is the ability to know what is true or right. It is a collection of knowledge. I like that. And it is God's insight for your future. Amen. Somebody say, God's insight for my future. And so happy or joy-filled, joyful is the man who finds wisdom. See, wisdom of man is for a moment, but the wisdom of God is for a lifetime. The wisdom of God will direct and guide your life. And that's why the Father says there's all these things that we could chase after, but it's only the wisdom of God. If you will grab a hold of the wisdom of God, this will navigate your life into places of peace, into places of joy, into places of freedom. Amen. And there's a difference between hearing about it and actually owning it. Think about, like, I know when I was little, I used to love to collect baseball cards and basketball cards and comic books. And I had lots of amazing rookie cards. I had a Frank Thomas rookie card. I had a Magic Johnson rookie card. I had a Dave Robinson rookie. I had some amazing rookie cards that I was pretty excited about. And I had some phenomenal comic books. I'd love to just find. You have to look and you have to seek and you have to find. And you find the first edition of a particular comic book that you enjoy. And I just really liked doing that when I was a kid. And so I would go to these baseball card shops, and I would go to comic book shops, and I'd love to look at their collection. I'd love to look at what they collected. I'd love to look at some really, really old baseball cards and basketball cards. But at the end of the day, it wasn't mine. I could just look at it through the glass. But the cool thing for me during that season is that I could go home and I could take out from the shelf my rookie cards. And I could be like, oh, I got some good stuff here. Oh, I got some number one edition comic books. Oh, this is good. I have something that I own. I have some good stuff that I own for myself. Amen. There's a difference between seeing it and hearing about it and owning it. Think about like the gold rush days in California where everybody was coming to California to strike it rich. And so you'd have these people that would actually strike it rich, right? They would find tons and tons of gold, and then they would go back and they would tell these stories. You know, I've read books, we've seen the movies, and they're telling the stories. Oh, I found gold. We're mining over by Bodie or wherever, you know, and we found the gold, and our lives are totally transformed, and they're millionaires and everything. And so there's a difference between the person just saying, oh, that's a great story. I could never do that. But then a bunch of the people said, I don't want to just hear that story. I want to do that myself. And so they begin to pioneer and they begin to come into California and they begin to find gold for themselves. So what? That they could own it. And so this is what God is basically saying to you and to me, is that we can't just hear about wisdom. We can't just read a book about wisdom. We actually need to own it for ourselves. Amen. I love this. So happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. The Proverbs, I love how much Proverbs talks about wisdom and understanding. I encourage you to search out those two words and it will come up with a lot just in the book of Proverbs. But listen to this. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Isn't it interesting? This is just a side note, but isn't it kind of interesting to you? Maybe not, but anything in life that's beautiful, anything in life that is valuable, that is worthy of anything is called a she. It's called her. Your boat, your motorcycle, your house, anything that has any kind of value to you that means so much to you, we usually say that it's her, it's a she, and we don't call something that we love with all of our hearts a big burly man, right? What do we say about men? It's like when is there ever a moment where we're like him? It's usually when my wife is like, "There's a bug. Can you kill him? There's a fly. Kill him." Oh, so we're like insects, I guess. And women are boats and motorcycles and beautiful houses and wisdom, and we're insects. You know, I get it. But it's just that's just interesting to me how it's in our culture. It's just always been that way. But I love that it started with God. It's not just an American thing. It's actually a Bible thing. And God says, this wisdom is precious and it's valuable and you need to protect her. You need to protect her like you're protecting your wife. You need to watch over her. You need to guard her. You need to ask for her to come. And when you do, and when you have wisdom, real wisdom in your life, it says the proceeds from that wisdom and the proceeds from getting real wisdom in your life are better than rubies. They're better than gold. They're better than striking it rich in California. They're better than anything that you can get externally. Why? Because wisdom will guide your life. And he says when you get wisdom, all this other stuff will actually follow you. Real wisdom. Proceeds come from an investment over time, right? So we need God's wisdom deposited inside of us so that it can grow over time. I'll give you a quick little mini sermon inside my message here. You might say, well, how do I really get wisdom? And I'll just give you a couple verses that have ministered to me. And out of the book of James, I think you can find everything that you're looking for as far as wisdom, how to get wisdom from the book of James. But here's a couple quick points for you if you're just like, how do I do this? How do I walk in this wisdom that the Bible is talking about? And I love what it says in James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Say, ask. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so the first thing that we need to remember and realize, if we want the wisdom of God, ask. Like, it's too simple. Well, the kingdom of God is not complicated. And we make it more complicated than it needs to be. So he says, you just need to ask. And what does asking really mean? That means coming into a place of prayer, coming into a place of relationship with him, and you begin to talk to him, and you begin to ask him, Father, I need your wisdom in this situation. I have all these options. I have all these directions I could go. Father, I need your wisdom. And the Bible says that he will give it to you. Amen. The second thing I learned from the book of James is that we ask or we pray with faith. 6 and 7, but let him ask in faith. Ask for what? Ask for wisdom. When you're asking for wisdom, when you're talking to God, when you're praying to God, he says, ask in faith with no doubting in your heart. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And so when we pray and when we ask, we have these moments in our life where, you know, we're confused. And what do we do? And I have three options in front of me. We ask in faith. Amen. The third thing I see in the book of James is found in chapter 3. I'm just doing this really quick just to give you a couple things to kind of think about and pray over in your own time. But James chapter 3. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. But what I'm focusing on here is, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness. Meekness is humility. Be humble. You want wisdom? Walk in humility. Ask the Father. Ask the Father in faith. Walk with humility, because God says, I will exalt those that walk with humility. My hand, my grace will be upon the humble, and I resist the proud. So be humble. And then the fourth thing that I see in verse 17 of chapter 3, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So, I mean, you can name that multiple things. I'll just say, be peaceful, be considerate, be without hypocrisy. Amen. And so those are just four quick things that you can do, I believe, to begin to get the wisdom of God in your heart and life. And a great example, obviously, that we see from Scripture, and you don't have to turn there, but we'll just paraphrase, is Solomon, the guy who wrote the book of Proverbs. You know, Solomon in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, 7 through 12, we see this moment where he is asking, and the Lord is saying, what do you want? I'll give you what you want. What is it that you are requiring? What is it that you are asking? And what does he say? He asks for wisdom above all riches. And the Father says, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for your enemies, because you didn't ask for this and that and this and just health in your body, because you asked for this, I will give it to you. And I'm not only going to give it to you, but I'm going to give you all these other things as well. And so this is what the Father gives Solomon. And so this is the wisdom that we see being poured out into Proverbs here. And so what is that we learn from James? What do we learn from Solomon? Is that we just come before God humbly and we just say, God, I need wisdom. I just need your wisdom. You're like, that's too simple. Just try it. Try it. Look at your neighbor and say, try it. Amen. And when the wisdom of God is truly in our heart, in my heart, in your heart, it will produce good fruit. It produces longevity, the Bible says. It produces wealth. It produces recognition among men, the Bible says. It will produce joy, enjoyment, or joy, happiness. It will produce peace, vitality. Hallelujah. So she is more precious than rubies, and all the things you desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Isn't that a good word? All her paths are peace. That is one thing that, you know, we should always, there's always going to be different directions and different pathways that we can walk on, but where's the peace? And And it will take the wisdom to God to find that pathway that is full of peace. And if there's a particular road or a path that has no peace, that is, you can just know in your knower that that is not the Lord. Because the children of God will be led by the peace of God. And I love what Joyce Meyer said. She said, let peace be the umpire of your life. And so if there's no peace, there's no go. And so sometimes I think in my life and a lot of our lives, we try to push ourselves into a season because it looks good. All the external things that are happening look good and they look God, like God. But if there's a void of peace, then don't do it. And the way that we find the peace is by finding the wisdom of God. You get the wisdom of God and then you begin to move into that realm of peace. Amen. Amen. Just a little bit of Proverbs for you today. Verse 18, what time is it? Okay. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Patrick, can you jump on the guitar? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. How many love looking at trees? I was looking at this tree yesterday in across the way at another house, and it was just this big, beautiful tree that looked like it belonged in like Tennessee or something. It's just this gigantic tree, and I just heard the Lord in my spirit just say, I want to make you like that. And I believe that the Father wants to make all of us this beautiful tree. And the thing that I love about trees, all trees really, the thing that's so marvelous about them is, you know how they will literally turn to the sun. Mm-hmm. A tree will find the sun. And when it finds the sun, it begins to grow like never before. If you just take a tree and you stick it in your closet, you're not going to have any growth. You'll have a little bit of growth, but then it will, sooner or later it'll just kind of get deformed because it craves and it longs for the sun. And that's how God has designed us. We need the Son of God. We need Him. We need to point our life at Jesus Christ and just look to Him. And then you begin to get bright and you begin to look beautiful and you begin to fulfill your destiny. Amen. Turn toward the sun. Trees, they put down deep roots. And this is what God talks about throughout the scriptures. He wants us as believers to put down deep roots. That we wouldn't be shaken by all this stuff in our economy, and we wouldn't be shaken by negative words that are spoken about you. You wouldn't be shaken because you have a root system, and that root system is going deep, deep, deep and finding the water, finding the source. Amen. And a good tree will bring forth good fruit. An apple tree will bring forth apples. And God says, I want you to bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. And lastly, this beautiful thing about trees is they don't get discouraged with small beginnings. Just think about a tree. Like, think about if you've ever planted a little tree, or if you've ever looked at a tree that was in a seed form. That seed, as you plant it into the ground, is not like, oh man, my life sucks. You know, not even as big as that guy. You know, it's going to take me 100 years before I'm that big. No, they're just like, I'm cool. Like, just plant me and I'll do what I'm meant to do. I'll do what I was created to do. If you just plant me in good soil and if you direct my life towards the sun, I will do what I was created to do. And this is how we are supposed to be. Don't get discouraged when you see other people that are farther ahead in their journey. You don't know what's happened in their past. You don't know what has happened thus far in their journey. We cannot look at other people and just say, man, I'm discouraged. I'm frustrated. No, just plant yourself in the soil. Allow your roots to go down and allow your branches to go up. Amen? And they don't get discouraged. They don't get to, I mean, some trees, there are trees that are like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. Like 1,000-year-old trees, right? They're in it for the long haul. I just want my life, and I think all of us want our life like that. We want to be in it for the long haul. I think many Christians and many times in our life, whether it's a career or it's a ministry or a relationship, we think of it as a sprint, and we run as fast as we can, as hard as we can, and then we get burnt out. But the Lord's saying, I never wanted you to be in a sprint. I always wanted you to be in a marathon. And I want you to pace yourself. And I want you to run. And I want you to have a group of people that you're running with. Hallelujah. Wisdom, wisdom. God, give us your wisdom. Give wisdom for our country. Wisdom for our leaders. We ask right now, God, for the supernatural wisdom to be upon the leaders of California, upon our president, God. God, we ask in their behalf, we ask that you would give them wisdom. We ask in faith right now, Lord. We step in and we look up to you and we ask, God, for wisdom in our nation, wisdom in our land, wisdom for the mayor of Mammoth, wisdom for the mayor of Bishop, wisdom for our county leaders. God, wisdom that they don't even understand. But we as a church agree for their life right now. And we ask that they would come into contact with supernatural wisdom from on high. That you would change the course of their life right now, God. We ask for the mayor of Mammoth salvation. I don't even know this man, but he's just on my heart right now. I pray for his salvation and deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. That you would encounter him with your glory, with your goodness, and with your power, Father. Hallelujah. Transform them. We need wisdom in our life. And the Bible is very clear what wisdom looks like in a believer's life. For the believer, what a tree of life looks like in the believer. We know what it's talked about throughout the scriptures. It's talked about in Revelation. It's talked about in Genesis. But it's talked about in Proverbs. And it's really the tree of life. This tree is really representing what my life should look like, what your life should look like. And we see in Proverbs 3:18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. That is what we just referenced. It's wisdom. So in order for us to be this beautiful, awesome, growing tree of life that is talked about here, we need God's wisdom. Proverbs 11, give you a couple Proverbs, because you're going to be trees of life. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So, it's righteousness. Righteousness, wisdom, righteousness. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So desire and dreams accomplished is a byproduct of us becoming like a tree of life. And Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue. That's a pure tongue, a health-giving tongue, a clean tongue, a edifying tongue, a safe tongue, a virtuous tongue, a strengthening tongue. And so God wants you to be a tree of life that's full of wisdom, that's full of righteousness, that's full of dreams and desires being fulfilled, and that is full of a mouth that edifies, that is safe, that speaks good things, that blesses and not curses, that speaks truth and not a lie, that speaks love and not fear. God says, if you do these things, and if you will apprehend these things, I will call you and I will make you a tree of life. And many will come to you and take shelter and take refuge. And you will show them the way. You will show them the truth. You will show them the life. So I want you to close your eyes with me. It's good. I just love these scriptures. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So right now, God, as a body of people, we have walked through a crazy season, Lord, as a country, as a world, Lord. We're just been in a really crazy place. And we're learning to navigate a new season. And what this season looks like nationally, what this season looks like on a state level, on an individual level, Lord, we're trying to figure out how to navigate this. And so I want all of us, why don't you just lift your hands, and I want you to ask for the wisdom of God. Well, you say, I asked for it before. Well, great. I'm glad you have some. Now we need new wisdom. We need God's wisdom for the rest of 2020 and 2021. We need a fresh deposit. We need fresh eyesight. We need all the trauma to be knocked off of us from this last 7 months. The fear, spirit of fear needs to be knocked off of us. And so I just want you to lift your hands, and I want you, just in your voice, from your heart, as we just kind of worship for a moment, I want you to ask the Lord in faith for wisdom. I feel like there's some real, there are some big decisions that need to be made in this room today. There's some career decisions that need to be made. There's some relationship decisions. There's some big choices and decisions that have to be made. And why would you ever want to make a choice without God? And so I just want you just to take a moment and just ask of the Father. And I promise you, He is a good Father. He's faithful. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. So let's just sing a worship song and just soak in the presence of God. And I just want you to engage with the Father. Ask of Him. Dialogue with Him, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. And just for about 5 minutes, can you do that?
Check two. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers, far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am, you're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, 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 as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am, Lord. Where else would I want to be than with you, oh God? Every step of the way, Lord, to be with you is my desire. Every step of the way, lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way.
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for wisdom. And I thank you, Lord, for the deep places in the Spirit. I thank you that you are calling us. You're calling every person in this room to a deeper place of life, a deeper place of relationship, a deeper place in your spirit. I just saw this picture as Patrick was worshiping. I was reminded of the scripture in the Gospels where Jesus comes with his disciples and he asks them to launch out into the deep. In order to launch out into the deep, they have to untie themselves to the shore or the dock. The thing that was holding them back from launching out, you have to remove that thing. You have to untie that thing so that your boat, your heart, your life can actually go to the deep. And I felt like there's people maybe right now in this room, you need to untie something. You need to release something that, so that your heart can truly go to that deep place that you hear. You hear the Father calling you. You hear God's Spirit wooing you, calling you, come to the deep places of my heart. Come to the deep places where you'll see the miraculous. Come to the deep places. And so, Lord, right now, I pray that every person in this room would have the courage to let go of those things, to untie things that have been holding them back and binding them. I just pray for freedom in this room right now, in Jesus' name, for every person to launch out into the deep. And God, that you would give us supernatural wisdom, the gift of wisdom. Lord, let the wisdom of God be on every person in this room as we navigate this new season. Lord, we pray for your wisdom today. We ask in faith, God, for wisdom in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you. We worship you. We give you all the glory, the honor, the praise. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed, say amen. Why don't you ask your neighbor if they need prayer? If they don't, then God bless you. But sometimes we come into church and we get a good word or good worship, but you still feel like you just need some prayer. And I like to mobilize the body. And so why don't you just ask your neighbor before you leave, just say, hey, do you need prayer for anything? God bless you. We love you. And have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.